It's game day for the Jaguars fans in 2022. We'll talk about tonight's game and what it means in the grand scheme of things here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for joining us on the Locked On Jaguars podcast on game day. I am Tony Wiggins, your host of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, which is your daily Jaguars podcast Monday through Friday, where it's your team every day. And we thank you for making us your first listen every day. A reminder, we are free on all platforms wherever you get your podcast. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's not a crisis line. It's not a self-help line. It's professional therapy done securely online, available to people worldwide. And they have a special offer for my listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. We've been waiting for this moment, man. Of course, it's just one of many moments that we're going to say we were waiting for, because in about a week and a half, you're going to get bored with preseason and you're going to be ready for the actual NFL season to start. And we'll be acting like preseason is the worst thing in the world. But as far as right now and today goes, it's time to get ready for some football as the Jaguars are in Canton, Ohio to face the Las Vegas Raiders. I have to make sure I say Las Vegas. And also Saturday, you'll see the enshrinement of Jaguars Tony Boselli, the first Hall of Famer for the Jacksonville Jaguars organization, getting enshrined to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, a lot to break down today, a lot to cover and go through. One of the things that we're going to go through is the fact that generally you don't see much in the preseason, and particularly you don't see much in the Hall of Fame game. But I have a little different spin on it and why I think you will see some things that are important developments for the Jaguars and some things you might have to really, really pay attention to in terms of the optics and the workflow of the coaching staff. Like, you might not see it, but they're actually really, really practicing on how to get these guys to transition from practice to the travel to how they prepare on game day. All of that stuff is really, 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 really important, and it's a dress rehearsal. There's some guys that, quite frankly, can make a lot of moves for themselves or either solidify a spot on this team. We'll talk about them. But first and foremost, I want to send a message to Urban Meyer. This is how you get it done. This is how you do it. Because if you guys remember last year at this time, and I know this ain't Urban headache, this ain't all of that, but what it is the fan base in Jacksonville went through so much because of that nitwit. And I'm telling you, that's what I'm calling him. When they came out and played the first preseason game last year, he was baffled. And there was 50,000 people minimum in that stadium to want to see what this new thing, this big bold thing was all about, right? And in the first quarter, his face showed you everything. He was baffled, did not know. And so he was going in at halftime, and he says, this is not what we want to look like. This is not who we want to be. We're slow. And at that point, I kind of looked at my wife, and I said, doesn't he know what he's supposed to look like when he comes onto the field? And doesn't he have any kind of responsibility, or doesn't he have any sort of feeling of, well, whatever we're going to look like, that's who we are because of that, what I've done in training camp and preseason. That was my first bat signal that the dude had no clue. So we're going to teach you how to Dougie tonight. We're going to show you, and it doesn't mean that the Jaguars have arrived. It doesn't mean that their record is going to be all of that great. It doesn't mean any of that. But what it does is you're going to see a team that knows how to transition from practice to a game. You're going to see a team that knows what they should be working on in the preseason and not having quarterback competitions with a journeyman and the guy who actually was a generational talent. You're just going to see a team that was prepared, because if you don't think sometimes preseason games can be a microcosm for what happens in the regular season, look no further than last year being baffled in the first game, in the first preseason game, and actually not having a clue or knowing exactly what this team was supposed to look like. Now, go 4 weeks later when they walk into Reliant Stadium in Houston and look the exact same damn way that they looked in the preseason. Go check out the fact that they let a team with a brand new staff, by the way, a coach who's also been fired after one season, with a brand new staff, with a rookie quarterback, and with a bunch of guys you did not know because Nick Caserio had just taken over the Houston Texans. And you saw an absolute hot mess of a football team, a team that looked like they wasted training camp, a team like they didn't understand the transition from the preseason to the regular season. They didn't understand how to transition from practice to games. And all everybody wanted to do is blame the players, because at that point, Urban Meyer was still in everyone's mind, this great coach, this Urban Meyer. So step aside and watch how the experts do it. Watch how a real NFL coach has his team ready to play, transitions out into the preseason and from practice to games. Special teams is going to be ready to go. I bet you won't see a guy running out on the field trying to put his helmet on punt coverage or on the punt team. Last year, they had 10 guys on the field on a punt. And then the dude ran on the field, putting his helmet on, they had to call the timeout. That kind of stuff won't happen because they are real organized. They have leadership in Doug Peterson, and he gets it done. Another thing I want you guys to remember, or us to remember, is this. Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. So don't think the fact that Trevor Lawrence is not playing tonight means that C.J. Beathard or Jake Luton, that what they do is not important. It's important because if they have to play some games or to finish a game with one of them, you want to make sure that that guy has the confidence of his team the way the backup quarterback in Philly did that year when they won the game. It's so important to remember it wasn't just about Peterson and Foles. It was about the belief system that those players had in the quarterback and in the coach to go out and think that they could absolutely win a game. Most of the time you hear stories of if your quarterback goes, you're done anyway. Well, those guys in Philly found a way to not believe that. And I think we need to look at that in Jacksonville too. We want some of that in our repertoire. So I think it's very, very important, the body language of those players. I'm going to tell you some guys here in a segment number two that kind of need to go out, in my opinion, and do some special things so they aren't forgotten men here in Jacksonville. I'll tell you who those guys are in just a second on Locked On Jaguars. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. You ready for it? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough. Man, who doesn't love cookie dough? Covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite, cookie dough chunk puffs. Have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Run to built.com to snag a box of you for you and your family. It will be a perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them all for yourself. Like all Built bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. It is so good. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Once again, it is LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at built.com. Check them out on Twitter, too, at @bar_built for all the latest and greatest information from Built Bar. All right, segment two here on game day for the Jaguars up in the Hall of Fame game playing against the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know if they have a little bit of an agreement. Maybe they won't blitz. Maybe they won't do certain things, but I probably would come up with something so everyone kind of comes out of this game clean, and maybe they can, him and Josh McDaniels, Doug Peterson, Josh McDaniels can work something out. There ain't nothing crazy going on or no exotic stuff going on so that make sure everyone kind of gets out healthy. By the way, thank you again for making us your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars. We really, really appreciate it. Don't mind my muscle shirt or my I ain't got no muscle shirt. I got a shirt on that's supposed to be a muscle shirt, but I ain't got no muscle, so it's a I ain't got no muscle shirt. But I'm on vacation, but I'm not on vacation with you guys, so don't mind. If you're watching on YouTube, by the way. So, players that can really, really show themselves approved and really make a move. I'm going to start with somebody I did a podcast on yesterday, Walker Little. Walker Little is not a lost cause at all here in Jacksonville. In fact, he's really, really improved. And he's improved enough that Doug Peterson has mentioned his name and Press Taylor's mentioned his name as guys as someone who has improved. So shout out to Walker Little for everything, all the hard work he's done. I know he had a lot of expectations as a second round pick in 2021. But hey, sometimes it takes a little bit longer, and he's fighting for that right tackle spot. And he's showing that too. I believe that if you need him in a pinch, he could go to the left tackle and be a swing player. And I don't know if they've even tried it, but I'm wondering if they've also maybe thought about him being just a swing offensive lineman, period, and maybe going in at right guard, say if Luke Fortner goes down and they slide Tyler Shatley over to center. Does, you know, that mean that they'll be able to play him at left guard, or do they just go with Ben Bartsch or Will Richardson? I don't know, but he could solidify himself as a very, very valuable player. He already is, but he can really put a stamp on that thing as, look, I'm battling for a starting spot, but I can come in a pinch and make sure that we don't lose anything, and I'm looking forward to him doing that. I want Laviska Shenault to show up and show us who he is. Is he the guy who had a lot of gains of more than 15 yards as a rookie, who everyone thought was a future star, or is he the guy who kind of suffered with some drops last year, didn't really look like he was pulling away and have breakaway speed? What is he? Is he something in between, or can he just have some sort of new rebirth and identity as a wide receiver slash weapon for this team? If you've ever seen him in person, he's a big, impressive looking specimen. But in football, none of that stuff really matters, man, if you don't really put it together and don't have the confidence of the coaching staff to go out and get it done. So I'm interested to see if Laviska Shenault can really separate himself from some of those guys that are chomping at his ankles and cement himself as a big-time member of this team moving forward. Or is he going to be a guy that, because of his name value, because he has put up some numbers in the preseason, is he one of those guys that wide receiver star teams like Dallas can reach out and give a phone call and say, hey, we might need a little bit of help? The Bears, that might need a guy who they believe is a solid number three. Either way, I thought it was a good job by Jacksonville to bring him back, give him a chance to show in the preseason what he can do. And if he shows enough, but they also have other players that they're willing to say, you know what, we already got our main three in Marvin Jones, Zay Jones, and of course, Christian Kirk. If one of these guys like Manningham shows up and shows out, or someone we've retained from the past, you know, that we gave another contract to, Treadwell. If Treadwell, and that means we have five, and then we can sort of get away with Jamal Agnew as our either our fourth running back or our third slot guy or our sixth receiver and save a roster spot, then that's something that they have to really, really look into. It doesn't really matter if it matters for him if he plays well, but for us, we want him to play well regardless if that means they're going to keep him or they're going to use him as a little bit of a poker chip for some desperate teams and go out and try to get a future asset. So I'm looking forward to those guys. I want to see Trey Herndon. Trey Herndon, because they have some young kids, man. They got two kids today, Monteric Brown, and they got another kid that they drafted in the draft this year. They both look good at certain points. Remember, the first three are settled. It's Darius Williams, it's Shaq Griffin, and, of course, Tyson Campbell. That's three corners. What if they just say they're going to keep five? Are these two young guys going to sort of push Trey Herndon out? What about Chris Claybrooks? That's someone else that you have to say, okay, are you going to solidify yourself and make yourself valuable enough that they can't move you? Are they going to be able to use you as a little bit of a poker chip? Regardless, if you're a Jaguars fan, you want all of these guys to really play. We didn't see Jay Tufele last year, you know, the way we should have. I want to see if what we've seen in practice means that he's going to be a dude who's going to come in here and push and maybe say, you know what, y'all don't need to keep Malcolm Brown around, or y'all don't need to keep giving DeJuan Smoot all these minutes, or y'all can play me right behind Fadu Kazi and Devon Hamilton. Y'all can use me as your third defensive tackle, a guy who can come in here and play either nose or slide over and play a little three technique behind Roy Robinson Harris. So it's a chance for him to really show. And he's looked good early. He really has looked good early. Shaq Quarterman, nephew. I want Shaq Quarterman to continue to impress people the way he has. It would have been very easy for him to kind of throw in the towel a little bit when you go out and add three guys on the inside at off-ball linebacker or sort of like the inside Mike position. When they go out and add Foy Oluwakan, and then they go out and add both Devin Lloyd and Chad Muma in the draft, this kid that was in his third season could have just been like crying and pouting. But you know what he did? He put his head down and started going back to work. And I think that's a credit to him. I think it's a credit to his makeup. And it's also a credit to the staff to say, look, we're not running you off here. We're going to give you a chance. And they've mentioned him. They've mentioned his work ethic. You've seen him with Devin Lloyd being out. You've seen him being mixed in with the ones and twos. And he looks the part. His body type is a little different from everybody else's because everyone else is a little bit longer and more angular. But he's a bumper thumper. He looks like a dude who just wants to put his head inside and get in the mix and run and see ball and hit ball. So I want to see if he, because Devin Lloyd is still out in the Jaguars in their scheme, he's always going to have the chance. I expect him to get 30, 35 snaps. I really, really do. And my man Jenkins is coming. Rayshon Jenkins came back from an injury. He has looked lights out in the preseason. That is something that I really, really did not expect. I didn't expect him to absolutely kill it the way he has been, but he has done that. I want to see him in his new system a little bit too. He's sort of more of a box guy. If you can think of a Malcolm Jenkins type, that's how he plays. Not necessarily Cam Chancellor, because that's who everybody thinks about when you think box safety. It doesn't mean he doesn't have coverage skills, because he actually does. So I want to see, and probably was going to be a limited amount of time, see what he can do and see how he gets down with it, and can he hold on and solidify that starting spot. And finally, Snoop Connor, the running back. Let's see if he can take some of those good things he's done in practice, transfer them to a game situation when the lights are on and everybody's on TV. And I just want to check all of that stuff out and to see if he can solidify himself as early on the second running back on the team, because I don't think James Robinson's going to play early. And then the other thing is just to be that third running back, to be that downhill bruiser, the guy who can take the ball and go right up the field and be hard to tackle in a limited amount of carries, 4 or 5 carries a game, to see if he's ready for the big time in that way. I'm going to talk about why it's important for the coaching staff in the preseason as well, and some of the optics and the logistical things that they're going to be working on as a new staff here in Jacksonville. Those things are extremely, extremely important. And I'm going to do all of that for you here in the third and final segment of Locked On Jaguars after I tell you guys about BetterHelp. Now, this is what, you know, everyone at some point in their life needs therapy. I have had therapy. I am still using therapy in my life for some issues and some help that I have. I had to learn how to swallow my pride, and there's nothing wrong. There's no stigma about it. You just have to be willing to get the help. Let me tell you about BetterHelp. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online, available to people worldwide. You can log on in your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You can schedule weekly video phone sessions, so you don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. And getting therapy every week is as easy as a few clicks on your laptop. And they have a very special offer for our listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's 10% of our first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/lockedon. Please take advantage, man, especially if you feel like you need a little bit of help. Don't be shy and think that there's a stigma. Folks are really, really there to help you. All right, so we're here on Locked On Jaguars and third and final segment on game day, as we get ready for the Jaguars to play in the Hall of Fame game later on against the Las Vegas Raiders. We talk so much about how important it is for the players to have their stuff together. What about the coaches? A new staff, they've done this, they've been in the league for a long time, but we don't take anything for granted here in Jacksonville, because we saw what happened just a year ago where guys weren't prepared, where there was a delay of game penalty coming off of a change of possession. And the very next play, they had to call a timeout because they were about to get another penalty. We heard all of the things about coaches saying they told the guy to go in, and the other guy says, nope, it wasn't me. And who told him to come out? Who? And all of the lying. And yeah, I'm frying Urban Meyer again because he deserves it. But what it does is it puts something in your mind as a fan and as someone who observes this, that sometimes we take little things like that for granted. Sometimes we don't understand the importance of being able to properly communicate, especially on game day when time is of the essence. You don't have a whole bunch of time to do a bunch of thinking. You have to do a bunch of things that are reactionary. You have to do a bunch of things that should come second nature. How do they become second nature? They become second nature because of practice. And that's what I'm talking about right now. I'm not Allen Iverson, but I am telling you, you have to practice. You have to be prepared. You have to get these kinks out in the preseason. It's called a workflow. You want to understand how you move. That's just the easiest way I can put it. How do you move as a staff? What do you do in certain situations? How do certain things in certain situations, like who's supposed to be in the game, situational football? What is all of this going on? You know, all of this, you have to know who you are. It's a basic identity thing that coaches have and teams have. They understand everything, and having that understanding really increases the amount of discipline and it increases the amount of detail orientation that your team has. And it's a very, very important characteristic of a good football team, where they always know where they're supposed to be. They always know who's supposed to be where, what they're supposed to be doing. And now this new staff has a chance to get this going and put it on full display. Put it on full display. Hopefully you won't necessarily see a lot of mistakes, but you will see a lot of different communication, guys getting their groups together, discussing the next play. Little things like this. Your defense comes off the field, right? They're getting over there, sitting and getting instruction. Somebody fumbles the kickoff. They got to turn around and run back out there. How do you handle that situation as a staff and get that quick turnaround and know the situations where you're going to be, where the ball is on the field to determine what your personnel was going to be, who is in the game for the other team, when do you call a timeout, understanding the communications, just the transition from getting off the bus, going to the hotel, from the hotel to the game, and knowing what time do you get taped, who does what, having all of these things down so you won't look like an incompetent football team. So those are the things that we probably won't see or understand, and we probably don't know what they look like anyway. But you only notice it if they're wrong. You only notice it if they haven't done it. You only notice it if they appear to be discombobulated and if they appear to be unorganized and dysfunctional, right? So we know what those two words have meant to our franchise, or unorganized and dysfunctional. We've seen it on full display. So we know what it looks like for a team to not have their stuff together. Hopefully tonight what we'll see is a team that has their stuff together and none of those things will rear themselves and pop up on you, kind of like when you know you got roaches, but you try to clean up and then one of them walks from behind the TV when you got guests in the house, that kind of stuff. It never happened to me, but I'm just saying, I've been over a friend's house or two that I kind of knew was something going on in there, and then those little things came around. They confirmed, yeah, it's nasty in here, dude. They fooled you. They just made everything look good. So we want to make sure that on national TV, this thing looks functional. And all of that is because it starts to help us get rid of some of those little memories and hangovers that we have. Also, let me tell you this. I'm going to take a little quick shot at Doug Marrone here. We don't want a team to appear to be throwing stuff at the wall and let it stick. We don't want, let's just try this. Let's try something new, try something fresh. That's not a plan. That's desperation. And I heard that from Doug Caldwell a couple of years. I mean, Doug Caldwell. I heard that from Doug Marrone a couple of years ago. And that's when I kind of knew it was over, when you start talking like that, because we don't try new stuff. Well, let's just see what works. We want a team that looks like they have a plan. They know what they're doing. And even if the plan isn't working, it's not because it's a bad plan. It's because guys just have to do better at executing that plan. Let's get to the point where we can absolutely be sure that we're putting it all on the players, because that's all there is. They either have to get better or they have to demonstrate or play better. They don't have to necessarily change who the players are sometimes, but we do want to see mistakes be corrected and those guys just play better. You don't want to be telling guys that they have to play better knowing they're playing better for a horrible coach. And so we need to get used to the fact that we know what the problems are and the things that we identified, and it's not going to be coaching. It's not going to be organization. That maybe it's a talent issue, but if it's not a talent issue, it's just an effort issue. And we're going to be able to watch and cheer for these guys to actually improve and get better. You can't cheer for guys to improve to get better when they're still playing for a horrible coach and a horrible organization, right? So I think that's one of the things that have frustrated the Jaguar fans for so long, is that one, they didn't know who was accountable to, and they didn't realize whether they changed quarterbacks last year and all of that, and it looked like they got worse, right? You can add free agents all day, but until you really get to the bottom of what's going on in the organization and the foundation, it's never going to be right. I think Jaguar fans want to eventually come out today and through the rest of the preseason and realize that those things that will beat you that you can't see are fixed now. And now this team is ready to roll. You guys are ready to roll with me every day here on the Locked On Jaguars podcast. And we thank you for making us your first listen and hanging out. I have game reaction for you tomorrow as we get ready for tonight's game, Raiders versus the Jaguars in the Hall of Fame game. And, of course, 2 days from now, the induction of the first ever Jacksonville Jaguar into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, that being Tony Big Bo Baselli. Until then, you guys take care. Enjoy the game tonight. Be safe. Take care of each other. And we'll see you here tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Jaguars.